all your school rugby all in one place. This is Next Gen 50.
Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of the Next Gen 15 podcast. I'm Angus Savage and we're here at Harbury College and I'm joined by Dan Murphy and by Joe Burns. And, well, we've had a wonderful day here at Harbury College for the pre-season festival. And Dan, well, I guess I'll start with you. What a day. Been brilliant, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been. It's been brilliant. It's our second year running the festival and it's done exactly what it's sort of suggested we wanted to get out of it. It's everyone playing some rugby, short sharp games, and just making it a fun day for everyone. Everyone can explore their squads, everyone gets some minutes, you get games against teams outside your fixture list, your regular fixture list, which is great, and yeah, just building relationships and friends with other schools and colleges.
Certainly do. Burnsy building relationships all over the place. We've had guests in the commentary box. We've had all sorts. It's been good fun.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of schools that I haven't covered before. And yeah, we had Megan, who does the social media for Gloucester Harbury. She came up and showed us a glimpse of the future of someone who's going to take our jobs. So that was good to have her up on co-coms and doing comms as well. But yeah, I guess it's a demonstration of opportunities for everyone at festivals like this, isn't it? And I think we were just chatting before we came on air about different schools playing each other, different schools from different circuits. And that's probably the thing that sticks out, because as much as the school circuit is flourishing, there is history and there's tradition, there's repeat fixtures sort of coursing through the veins of that system. So to see schools getting an opportunity to play ace schools like that they wouldn't get to usually do, I think that, well, that's exciting from an interested party, but it's got to be exciting for the players as well, right?
Yeah, we can see it. But I mean, the players, you could tell, were just absolutely loving it. You know, from all schools, and we've had people getting in touch on social media going, how do we get to be a part of this? How do they get to be a part of that? That's what we want to find out. How do they get to be a part of this?
Well, like I said, it's been our second year, and anyone that's like, it's not, there's no winners or losers here. There's no cup. Like, it's about us creating a pre-season tournament so everyone can explore that their squads and stuff. So yeah, get in touch if you want to come along. We have accommodation as well here, so you guys can come and stay the night before.
If only I'd known that last night. Yeah, I'd have been here in a heartbeat.
That's interesting, because I was staying in a hotel. Sorry, I say hotel in the loosest sense of the word. In Tewkesbury last night, so
I did,
appreciate that,
I
man.
I did offer a room last
Thanks
night.
Thanks for
come
letting
on.
Everybody know now after I didn't stay here.
Yeah, it was Mrs. Murphy that wouldn't let you stay last night. It was her birthday last night, so I had to renege on a bed offer, unfortunately.
For me, what greater birthday gift than Burnsy under your roof on your birthday?
Walking in at midnight.
Midnight if you're lucky. If you're lucky. Right, we are a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, all sorts of places, anywhere you can find a podcast, basically, and on YouTube. But we've got to give some social media handles as well. Obviously, at NextGen15, you all know that already, but Mr. Burns?
At Burnsy Drama, BYRNESY Drama.
I mean, the name does what it says on the tin, doesn't it? Yeah. If ever it did. Dan?
I don't actually know mine. I think it's Dan Murphy 1, I think.
I'll do some research for you. But crucially, at Harbury Rugby is what you want to be looking out for at Harbury Rugby. But I do want to get into a little bit of social media, because in the 30 seconds or so of prep that I did ahead of this this podcast, I was on your Twitter and it says you've got a Guinness World Record. What can you tell me about that?
It was in 2013, I believe. It involved myself, Mariano Galazza, Carol Vorderman and Pudsey the Bear.
I don't know where this is going. The floor is yours, Matt.
We were both, Mariano and I were at Gloucester at the time, both injured Mariano had a shoulder operation, and I'd injured my MCL. So I was in a knee brace, Mariano was in a sling. We had some community obligations to fill, and we went out to Staverton Airport, just down the road. And there was a Guinness World Record attempt on the longest cupcake line in the world. And Mariano and I was in a knee brace, locked at 10 degrees, so I couldn't bend my knee. And Mariano was in a sling, so couldn't really get up and down. So we were prime candidates for this role.
You sound absolutely perfect. Yeah.
So we sweated away, me, Mariano and Pudsey, and we got it done, and we laid this line with, there was loads of people, it was a big community sort of effort. And then obviously we had Carol come in and lay the last cake as the sort of flagship person coming at the end. And her and Pudsey had a nice photo, and Mariano and I were just sort of shunned to the side.
You didn't get top billing above Carol and Pudsey. This is outrageous.
No, we didn't. That was,
we need to have words with the BBC.
That was it. But it goes on my Twitter, so that'll never leave me. I laid those cakes with pride.
Quite right, too. You got any world records, Burnsy?
No, I don't think so. I have one pointless on BBC, though. I did go on pointless with a mate of mine from uni. Yeah. And
how did that go?
Yeah, check it out. Season 20, episode 13. Off the top of my, off the top of my head.
Link in bio.
I can see a role for you on Pointless. You could be the new Richard Osman.
That's way too big a shoes for me to fill. Way too many shoes. Too big a shoes. It's pretty cool going on there. They're good guys. I've got the trophy at home on the mantelpiece. So
you won it.
Yeah. I wouldn't be talking about it if I hadn't won.
That's a good point. God, I need to up my game. I think I've got a BBC Look East appearance when I was about 8. That's it. really need to work it up.
The Alan Partridge of schoolboy rugby.
Sadly, very close to home. It's a bit of a worry. It's a bit of a worrying time for me. But no, we're here at Hartbury College, and as we've said, we should talk some rugby. We should talk about. We'll start with the sort of college aspect. We'll work our way up into Bucks, so we might as well. We've got a couple of Bucks legends here, but we'll start on the college front and the Ace League, because we are primarily on the school's front, and it's a phenomenal record that Hartbury have got in Ace rugby. All bar two titles since the inception in 2008 that Hartbury have claimed.
Yeah, I think so.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I presume every year the challenge is go and repeat what last year did.
Yeah, and that's the motivation for those guys. Like you've seen some guys play today that want to sort of repeat what the year before has done and achieved. And that's the challenge for these guys. It's not just about getting in the first team and pulling on that shirt. It's about winning that title each year, and that's what drives them. And that's why I heard you speak earlier about like Louis from Wales, like turns into Lewis Rees-Zammit. Like that's where they start.
I can't believe that line's going to get this much mileage. Unbelievable.
But that's how it starts. Like these guys, they see what's gone before them. They have that drive and they go, I don't want to be the guy that hasn't. And they drive, they push, they win, and then they turn into British Lions. Like it's crazy.
How do you get all these gun players year on year? I mean, obviously you develop them, but you've got to have some good genes to be working with, should we say?
Yeah, there's recruitment that goes into it, and obviously the success helps with recruitment. Like you get good players, they see things like today, they see things like the Ace Final, they see they're live streamed as well, and people want to be part of it. And going back to Lewis Rees-Zammit, like he gave his Lions jersey to Wayne. I think they did a piece on when they were presented their Lions jersey. It was who was their most influential person through rugby, and Louis brought it back to Wayne and gave it to him. So it's things like that really help on the recruitment. There is a lot of work on recruitment and getting students in, and then it is down to coaching them. You want players, yeah. You said about athletes and getting them in, but you still need coachable people. There's no good just getting people who can run fast and lift heavy things. You need to be able to be molded into a rugby team.
So when you recruit those guys, say they don't live in the locality, then what happens? They come and live here when they're 16, 17?
Yeah, so Hartbury's unique as a college where it has on-site accommodation. So you can come and live on-site. So those guys from afar are able to join us and stay, and it kind of immerses them in the rugby program because they have constant access to the facilities, to the staff, to the rugby balls. Like as simple as, oh, 6 o'clock, sun's still out, had dinner, should we go and do some passing or kick a goal or do some hooker throwing? Like you're constantly in that environment.
In the bubble.
The Hartbury bubble, yeah.
I guess there's an element of success breeding success as well. I mean, I suppose it's a bit of what you're saying, where you've got, you know, if you see some of the Bucks guys out there or you see the example of guys that have gone on to other things, you just go, well, this is just what you do here. So I'm going to do, I mean, similar to different scale, but look at the All Blacks where just success breeds success. People see that's what the standard is, so I better go and meet that standard.
Let's not go comparing Hartbury to the All Blacks just yet, okay? They're all,
I don't
right.
know, one of their teams right. today was they're labelled Hartbury right College Black. I thought maybe it was a hint towards that, something like that. But so the season starts for the A side away against, I think it's against SGS Filton College, Wednesday the 13th. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously not far away. I mean, we're going to be on the road that day as well at I think it's a rugby school against Haileybury that we're at that day. So it's a quite a late start in the season actually, because we're what, 2 weeks on from this or 10 days on from this. Mm-hmm. What's between now and then? Lots of training.
Yeah, so those guys, they'll obviously enrol. Enrolments on Sunday. You speak about the accommodation side, so everyone will enrol and join up with us on Sunday. So Monday they can start training. So it's straight back into their academics and their rugby programs. They had two pre-season camps as well during the summer to sort of prepare for this and prepare for the season. Because as you say, it's a very short. Like you enroll and then you've got a week and then you've got a game. That's not really a good prep time for a league campaign. So there's a few camps going on to familiarise the guys with each other. But yeah, it'll be getting into rugby and away they go.
I guess that's the thing that people who aren't necessarily part of the A scene need to understand actually, is that this is an entirely new team basically when they arrive, because everyone comes in. Yeah, from 16 up. So we've been playing together in and out for the last three or four years. We've got 2 weeks to create a team. It's almost a Lions tour, in effect. It's like create a team, go and play a series of games, and it's all done in December. Yeah. It's fast paced and it's got to be tricky.
And that's why I talk about the coachability part of it. It's all well and good having athletes and guys with size and stuff, but with such a limited amount of time to be coachable is you can. Being coachable, you can almost be more pickable than someone who's quick or someone who's strong, because you can blend into a team, you can be part of that quicker than say other players.
It's amazing. And I guess, you know, at the same time we've got to talk about the girls program, because the girls is, I mean, it's been a strong program for a long time, but it is rocketed in recent times, it feels like. Yeah, we've had the privilege of covering a few games. I think it was the AOC finals maybe that we did back in March. You know, some fantastic stuff there. Obviously, Burnsy and I were at the Ross and Park Sevens, where, you know, Hartbury. Have you ever lost a final at the Ross and Park Sevens? I'm not sure you have. Yeah, Daisy Aspinall. We've been talking about doing some wonderful stuff. She's just one of many players, but it's a phenomenal girls program as well.
Yeah, and it's run the same as the boys program. It's the girls live on site, they're fully immersed in the rugby side of it alongside their academics, and it's a blueprint of the programs, and it's again, success breeds success with those guys. They don't want to be the team that don't go to Roslyn Park and win, and it's with the success with Gloucester Hartbury this year as well, it's even pushed even more the recruitment side and the eyes on Hartbury under 18s girls.
Heady days. I remember going to Rossin Park and just begging for a single win, let alone, we don't want to be the side that doesn't win the tournament.
Yeah, nice ambition to have. Oh, I want to ask a question. Why don't the A sides play top public schools more frequently in the season? Because they don't seem to meet with great regularity. Why is that?
So, I don't know.
Well, do you know?
I think that was a politically correct answer. I think it's an important one to field because I think there's a lot of misconceptions around it all. I think there was a period where a lot of public schools were very worried about the physical difference between them. I don't think that exists really anymore.
No.
I think it's more a little bit of an excuse at times. I think we see that at Rossin Park a little bit, where you get teams not wanting to enter the top competition because of the perceived physical differences between who they're going to meet in one competition versus the other. I don't think that's the case anymore at all. But I think generally speaking, you'll know more than me, but I think generally speaking, that's been the sort of perceived reason at least. I think it's a bit of nonsense, really. I think everyone should play everyone, you know. Yeah. They're all good teams, you know, and different as well. You know, what have we just spoken about at this festival today? We've spoken about different people coming up with different challenges, different styles from different parts of the country that don't normally play each other, and we celebrate how good that is. And if we go and talk to any school, any college around the country, they will tell you that's what they want their program to be. Let's make it happen. Why not?
This is what the festival's here for. Like, let's get them here. It's like I say, we're open to it, and if you want to challenge yourselves.
How big can the festival get? You got 26 teams here this year. You had 19 last year.
Yeah, so we've got five rugby fields. We worked well today. We could probably grow to 30, 32 maybe. So we've got some space out there if you fancy it. Accommodation as well. Burnsy will kip with you.
The local hotels are very nice, so I'm told.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure about the Royal Oak in Tewkesbury, if I'm being honest.
Oh, our next big sponsor just waves goodbye. I had them all lined up for next year as a major headline sponsor, and off they go. Terrible, terrible. Let's talk about Bucks, but we'll get onto Bucks in a little bit. Let's talk about some of the people that have kind of passed through the halls here at Hartbury College. I mean, I was watching an under-18 out in South Africa, Solomon Shand putting in a really good shift in the back row, kind of across the back row, actually. Boy, does he get through a shift of work. And that nearly went
on. That was really treading a tightrope.
That was pretty close. A shift of work is what Solomon Shand gets through. But you've had some great players through the years. Who have been the ones that you've had pass through here where you've gone, that's an international?
So this is my seventh year here. So I haven't been lucky enough to work with as many players that have come through the system as others. But while I was a player here with the RFC when I first came, Harry Randall was involved. He was an under-18s player. He then, in 1 year, he actually won the ace competition. Then in the same year, played in the Bucks final against Exeter at Twickenham and won that in the same, the ace in December, Bucks in the April.
He was only about 5'6" and 4 stone at that time.
And probably 15, 16. Like, it was ridiculous. But he then came and played for the championship side in our first year, Hartbury RFC, and playing with him, I was like, wow, this kid's got something. Turn of pace, eye for space. You blink and he's gone. Like he is still a talent now. He was, for someone, I never actually properly coached him, but I played with him and I was like, wow, this kid's gonna go places.
Were you here when Matt Prothero was here?
Yeah, so I was in my past life, I did sit on the bench for a few premiership sides, and I sat on the bench with Prothero quite a bit when we were at Gloucester, and he was on loan at Hartbury at that time, and he where he helped the progression of this place. Came here as a college student and then went on loan to Hartbury and helped them through that, through those national leagues into the championship. And yeah, he was someone who electric.
He was one of the best schoolboy players I've ever seen. He was absolute freak. It's a shame we've never got to see that level of quality out of him in professional ranks. I mean, he's had some good days, but God, he felt like he had a good day every time he took to the field when he was 16, 17, 18. It was incredible. But yeah, I mean, you've got what? My very short research period. You've got Johnny May, Ellis Genge, Seb Negri, Steve Varney, Lewis Rees-Sammet, and probably some others that I've missed off, all going to the World Cup. I reckon there's not very many schools and colleges around the world that can claim that sort of a list of people. And you could have more. I mean, you've got the likes of Ross Moriarty could be going. You know, there's so many. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's...
I think Exeter have got a few at the World Cup, actually.
I wonder how long it takes to say Exeter.
It was a matter of time. I've been holding off on the Bucks stuff because I knew he was going to bring it in at some point.
Daff Jenkins, Christians, Christian. Sam Skinner.
Yeah.
Lashajani for Georgia.
And it's not just like we're talking predominantly about college stuff there, and this is where I suppose we get into Bucks, because these players are playing... they're playing in these ace leagues for wherever colleges and schools they go to, but then they're then going into Bucks Super Rugby and playing there. And Daff Jenkins, I think, played a year and then he was into the Welsh squad. Christ as well played a handful of games. He's into the Welsh squad, and it's where guys are learning and playing. Like, I'm getting a bit excited now, but it's what I do. With the Bucks Super Rugby, they get to play. If you go to an academy, I went to an academy when I was a kid, and you hold a shield for the opposition. You learn the opposition's lineouts. You do non-23 training, but you'd never actually get to play. And playing makes you better. That's exactly how you get better. And Bucks Super Rugby allows that. And these players grow very quickly. They don't just. It's not like at 18 they go, wow, that's an international rugby player. They're good, but then you have a season of, or three seasons, you got your college, your ace years, and then you play another sort of interim into men's rugby, because that's what that Bucks Super Rugby level is. It's like the old under 23s league, or the under 21s that used to be around. It's that perfect balance between speed of under 18s rugby and a bit of physicality that men's rugby brings naturally. And they grow and learn, and then they're then released into international camps and premiership sides.
I'll tell you what, you talk about game time and playing. I've got a terrible, terrible stat in the England under 20s, not this team just gone, but the one before. Average number of appearances in any sort of senior rugby for a player in that under 20 squad was 6 games.
Wow.
How are you supposed to develop with only 6 games? It's just, it's insanity, utter insanity. But let's talk a bit of Bucks, since we've got the pair of Bucks legends here. For one reason or another. Let's talk, Burnsy, we'll go to you. Let's talk predictions. What are you predicting for the year ahead?
Can I just pick up on Murph's point there?
Certainly can.
Just to follow on. In terms of you saying about that it represents that perfect interim period between the speed of under 18s and men's, and that you begin to make that transition and you're blending them both. The thing that sticks out most for me about Bucks Super Rugby, and I've been doing it for, I think it's my 7th season, and I've been around premiership environments as well, and I'm not completely rubbishing the academy system, because there's definitely a place for that, and it suits some players and suits some personalities. But there's the obvious glaring thing that Bucks Super Rugby, you can play top grade rugby and you come out with a degree. So that if things go south, if you do an ACL in your first year when you go into professionalism, you've got a degree to fall back on. And that's the most obvious one for me. But I think that the thing that people maybe don't consider quite as much, and you touched on it with your bag holding, that a lot of young players who go into academies are going to be holding tackle shields, and they get to play more games these days because they're on dual contracts or they get loaned out. But they're getting loaned out to clubs like week on week, having trained with their professional side. So they'll be training with their pro side, their prem side, and then going out to play championship or Nat 1 at the weekend. The best thing about Buck Super Rugby is that they get 3 years to achieve something with the same group of people. And I think it instills that mantra of team togetherness within each other. They've got a finite period of time to achieve something, and every step they take is for the progression of that group. It's for the success of that group. Whereas I feel that in an academy drive, the main aim of the person is to get noticed individually so that they are absorbed into the senior squad and they're given their own personal choice. So I think in terms of like building that team ethos and also that feeling of achieving something together, you know, winning a title or, you know, going to the trenches with each other through a few years, like that's what makes incredible team people. And I think that's one of the intangibles that is maybe overlooked sometimes in Bucks. And you see it with Sam Skinner and Lasha Jayani. Scotland played Georgia the other day in the last World Cup warm-up, and the photo that Sam Skinner put on his Instagram was him and Lasha, and it was at URFC, and it's like, you know, winding back the years to when they're at uni together. And, you know, we're lucky to be in touch with a lot of boys who've played BSR, and they still, like, their eyes light up about those years that they spent with each other. And you don't have to win something either. Like, you see Alex Dombrandt or Tom Pearson, and those boys are still as buzzed about what's going on down in King Coyd at Cardiff Met as they were when they were there. And I just think in terms of what it gives people, gives players, is unrivaled. So yeah,
it keeps the enjoyment there longer. No one starts rugby thinking what I want to do is go through school or college and then end up in an academy and then work my guts off for 2-3 years just trying to impress a coach just in case there's an injury somewhere so that I can step in and wear the 23 shirt or whatever. No, that's not how people think. People think, I want to play because I like it. And actually, you go and play a bit of Buck Super Rugby, that's 3 years, maybe a few more if you get yourself a slightly longer degree. You know, you get to have fun and experience that, and if you're good enough, you're going to get seen. And you're playing a high standard, so you are going to get seen if you're that good. And yeah, it's fun. Rugby's supposed to be fun. You know, team sport's meant to be fun. It's about your relationships with other people. It's about the off field as much as the on field. This is not it doesn't all have to be, let's take it all super seriously and let's, you know, slam into tackle bags, as you're saying, for the next 3 years and hope that someone gets injured somewhere so I get a shot. No, go and play.
Oh, definitely. Burnsy and I both know and get a little bit excited. He's twitching now because it's coming around soon as well, and we're back into it, and it's exciting to work with as well. Like, you talk about the players, like, we get excited. Like, I've just worked out we started in Buck Super Rugby together at the same time. I've been here 7 years as well, and it's every year is exciting. Like, you talk about that 3 year, every year is a new group, so they get to create something, and it's exciting as a coaching group as well as players.
Yeah, well, these things are intoxicating to be a part of. I'm not going to. He's been sitting on this question now. He's had plenty of time to think about it.
He thought
he was going to get to escape it. Some predictions for next year. It doesn't have to be who's winning. It can just be some predictions for what happens overall.
Look, last time I did this was for Bucks. And I really thought I tread the tightrope really well. But it turned out I didn't, because my DMs were as busy as they've ever been. And it was with rugby players from various institutions about my prediction about their side. And they were pretty accurate, can I just say, come the wash at the end of it all. But I guess I'm now going to have to... I've got to give a prediction now, do I? Yeah? Okay.
I feel like you've talked yourself into it now. You're going to have to...
Predictions. I actually think it's the most open one of the last few years. Rumour has it that Loughborough have recruited pretty well from their fresher intake. So there's a lot of buzz around that. But there's also... You've got to also be nascent of the fact that they've lost some like really key players, big players that have graduated. I know that every university loses players like that, but you're talking about the likes of Teddy Leatherbarrow and Charlie Titcomb. Titcomb, who was an absolutely outstanding 10. I thought he was one of the most unsung players, actually, the performances that he produced for Loughborough. I mean, his pass at the death in the final to set up the equalising try and then nervelessly slot that conversion to take it to extra time. It's just not spoken about enough. So I think Loughborough are good. Exeter, they're going for the three-peat, which only Hartbury have ever done. And that's going to be a huge motivator for them. But it's going to be a big change without Keith Fleming officially at the helm, although he'll have put in things for his departure, for his succession. I think Hartbury are going to be in for a good season. I'm not just saying that because you're here.
Have you paid him?
Not just saying that because you're here. And
paid for the Royal Oak in Tewkesbury.
I think the rest is pretty open. I think you can see a lot of teams beating everyone. Bath as well. Bath's the other side that I think Bath are destined for top four, and they would have learnt a lot from last season in terms of reaching the summit at one stage in the season, kind of back knocking around the top, which they haven't been for a while. And they really pushed Loughborough close when they played them away in the semi-finals. They went close. And I don't know, I feel like they've got their blend with their relationship with Bath Rugby a lot better, or it seems to be a lot better, where there's more cohesion between the players. They're getting access to their best, and they've also got a lot more depth running through their club. So I think it could be a good season for them.
Well, if you're one of the six teams that Burnsy didn't name there, then do feel free to slip into his DMs on @BurnseyDrama.
Don't worry, people don't hesitate, so I'm fully armed for it.
And Dan, I'm not going to ask you for a prediction because that would be unfair, but sort of excitement levels for the Bucks Super Rugby season ahead and for some of the players that you're going to get to work with and get to see, it's, you know, exciting times.
Yeah, definitely. It's why I love doing it, the excitement around the whole competition. For the, I don't know if Bucks have done it on purpose, but for the second year in a row we've got Exeter away, first game of the year, which is always, I've said it many times before, it's always the first game we look for, like when we play an Exeter away, and I know the students do as well. They have a good travelling support, like Exeter away, and we get it first up again this year.
Because Burnsy's on the phone to them, okay, I've got to stay in the Royal Oak in Tewkesbury coming up. I need something to chat about.
Yeah, at least they put me up when I head down to Exeter. They take me out to Timepiece and they show me a nice time.
When was the last time you were there?
To Timepiece. Not that, I did a touch tournament. I did a Red Bull touch tournament down there in the summer, and I went out with the students. And I loved it. I loved it. I'm just never going to grow out of it.
Burning
I
know the candle.
Yeah, very much burning the candle at both ends. Can I just add something that I didn't mention before? I think something that's going to be interesting for...
It's not another team into your prediction, is it?
No. I think
it's worried about the other six.
Interesting for the youngsters who are tuning in on a Wednesday night on Bucks TV to see the games is, sadly, from the London Irish, the Worcester and the Wasps fallout, you're seeing a lot of senior academy boys who were in the early stages of their professional journey have left the Premiership rugby systems, and they've been picked up by universities. They've seen the value in Bucks Super Rugby, and I think that you'll see some really very, very talented players who are probably in their first year, but they are well-developed rugby players who are going to bring a lot and elevate the standard as well.
Well, they'll have been in an environment where they've been facilitating for others, and now they'll actually get to play and put that, what they've learned in those environments, into practice in a game. And then, yeah, I can say it over and over again, it's a great experience for these players to expose themselves to a good level of rugby.
And actually that gives us an opportune moment to kind of circle it back to the school game, because obviously Hartbury have got a very close relationship with Gloucester, but you've also had a lot of players in the ACE setup who have represented other clubs. You know, a few players last year that were playing with Worcester, I think, and you've had guys with Bristol and stuff as well. So that Worcester team becoming Midlands West, I think they are part of the Midlands Academy. That's got to have been a really tricky thing for those guys who were 16, 17, and suddenly I thought I had a whole plan worked out, and suddenly that's been ripped away. And, you know, fortunately something's come in place, but that must have been a really tricky time.
Yeah, definitely. And it was horrendous to see. Like, I used to play at London Irish, and it's terrible to see whole families like jobless. It's terrible. But it's also, I've been in that scenario as an academy player and as a rugby player, without, in between a contract, without a job, and it's a really scary place. And I think, like, I phoned Kieran McCarthy, who was the team manager. I think that was his official name, but he's literally part of the woodwork at London Irish. And I said to him, I was like, mate, any academy lads that want to study and play some rugby, like, we've got our championship side here as well. We've got a route back into professional sport for you here. And just as a safety blanket, and said, look, send them our way. Johnny Goodridge, who was at Worcester, he coached at Hartbury with the ACE program and with the RFC, and then during COVID went and joined up with Worcester Warriors as one of their backs coaches. He came back to us, and we've helped a few lads that have come out of their program back into rugby, and say, right, here you go. You've seen how volatile and fragile pro rugby can be. Give yourself some assurances, get a degree behind you, still play some rugby. Here's a route, here's a pathway back into pro sport, because that's what we've got here. That's why we have our 18s, our Bucks, and our championship. It's a natural pathway alongside studying into professional sport and into rugby.
And I suppose an important part to get in here, because we, you know, lots of school kids will be listening to this, is what is the process for them in terms of making that step from school to Bucks level rugby? I mean, they're coming, weirdly, it all comes around very fast. They're coming into the UCAS period like in about a month's time or something. They've only just gone into the final year at school and things. It's crazy. But what is the process for them? Because I guess there's going to be a lot of kids thinking, I need to get my head screwed in on this now.
Yeah, well, we host open days all throughout the year, found on our website. And on those days, we host the rugby department.
Hartbury.ac.uk.
There you go. Thank you. We host rugby taster days as well. So you do your academic sort of tours and things around in the morning, and then come down in the afternoon, do a bit of training, just have a little taste of what we do here. And then what we normally try and do is tag it onto one of our championship or women's prem games, so that you get a full experience of the campus. You go, you see your academics, you see what lectures, what tutors you're going to be doing, you see the facilities, you experience a bit of the coaching, and then you see the end product, whether it be in the men's game or the women's game, out here on the main field here.
Sounds perfect. I mean, it's so weird to be talking about the end of August, but it feels like something that people are going to be asking and thinking about over the course of the next, I don't know, 3-4 weeks. I mean, it's crazy. I think back to my own time, a long time ago now, but I remember almost instantly that I had my bum on a seat, first lesson, you need to get your head on about UCAS and universities. Okay, fair enough. I've only just got my head out the summer holidays, but better get switched on. Okay, so we're going to just have a little think about, as we move towards a wrap up, the year ahead. What are we looking forward to in... we'll go in rugby overall, but with a slight nod to our areas of expertise. What are we looking forward to, Bernsie? We'll start with you.
What am I looking forward to most in rugby? Hey, that's a big question, isn't it? Mm. Big question. I mean, look, I'm going to talk about the areas that I know best. Every season, Bucks Super Rugby gets better and better on the field, without question. For anyone who didn't watch last year's final, it is worth going to watch. It is the best final I've ever seen. What was it, 43 all at full time?
Full time, yeah.
Last minute kick to draw it, and then extra win it in extra time. It was like nothing you'd ever seen before. I think that really gives you a taste of the brand of rugby that you see week in, week out in Bucks Super Rugby. Mm-hmm. And anyone can beat anyone, and that's not just a tagline to get you interested. And there's some great personalities you'll get to know along the way in terms of the coaches, the players. I mean, Murph and I, we're passionate about the boys. We're passionate about the girls in Women's National League, which is the Bucks Super Rugby equivalent for the women. And that's growing as well because there's an extra team in there. You're not watching any other rugby on a Wednesday. You should be watching that and really understanding where some brilliant young individuals are coming from next. And then the World Series Sevens, I'm lucky enough to be involved in that. And you see a lot of university players get to transition to Sevens as part of their university journey, their rugby journey. And they're revamping the series. And if you get to go to one of those legs, then it's pretty sweet because it takes you around the world and it's not too bad a party as well. And I was always probably had more prowess in the clubhouse post-match than I did on the field of play. So
it's the perfect environment for you. Nothing could suit you more. Although I would say that on Wednesdays you can also watch, for instance, Rugby School against Haileybury on Wednesday the 13th of September if you so wish. No, there's a lot going on, and actually on Wednesdays as well, you know, it's not televised at the moment, but you've got the Ace League as well, which Hartbury are going to be, well, almost certainly competing right at the top end of. Again, it would be a surprise if not. I know there's some big challenges from around the country, but what's standing out for you in the season ahead?
27th of September, Hartbury Exeter.
Round one. Let's go, baby.
Here we go.
It's etched in the mind already.
Yeah, it's the fixture we always look for.
When do you get hold of the players again for pre-season work?
So we've been in for we've had a block already. We had a few days off. They played on Thursday. We've got another little block starting tomorrow, with another couple of pre-season games, and then we start on the 27th with a bang. Down at the well. I don't know if Topshen has had a lot of rain. I was coming through Exeter at the weekend, there was a lot of rain, so I don't know if Topshen will hold up.
Maybe they'll have to move it here
or their lovely crumb. You know what I'm talking about. The postage stamp.
Everyone loves a set of grey's knees at the end of a game for rugby, don't they? It's been a cool day here at Hartbury College. It's very quickly, we're only, what, 2 years into it now, but I think this pre-season festival is a firm fixture in the school's rugby calendar now. You know, we have these staging posts throughout the year. Obviously, from the Ace point of view, you've got the Ace League culminating in the finals day early on in December for some of the schools. Obviously, St. Joseph's College, your old place, they've got the festival coming up in October. You've got places like Seaford College with a staging post in late January with tens. You've got Rossin Park sevens, you've got the Sedba tens. You have all these staging posts in the season, and I think this is very quickly becoming a staging post right at the beginning, and that's what's been missing. We need these moments to start the whole thing off, and as we were saying at the top, it's just so great to have so many different types of schools and colleges coming to take each other on. I mean, we saw some seriously different types of rugby. We spoke about it on air. Seeing the Irish choke tackle come back into fashion towards the end of the day was not something I was expecting to see. Particularly not something I was expecting to see, given that we've had so much controversy in the off season about tackle heights and everything, and suddenly everyone's bringing back the choke tackle. Where did that come from?
I don't know. I think Chris White will have something to say with the referees from today's on their debrief, but we'll see.
Who knows? Poor old Chris. He didn't know he was going to come in for something there. But it's been a wonderful day, and it's going to be a real pleasure to see how the year unfolds for everyone here at Hartbury College and Hartbury University, not just on the college front and the Ace front, but on the Bucks front, on the girls front, and all the way into the championship. It's, you know, there's so much going on. It's exciting times ahead, and pretty exciting year ahead. I believe there's something going on in the next couple of months in the wider rugby world, and Scotland are going to win it. So you heard it here first.
Well, apologies to that when they don't get out of the group.
I didn't say what they were going to win. They're going to beat Romania, is what I meant. Yeah. But thanks for joining me, guys. You can catch these guys, Joe Burns at Burnsy Drama, or in the Royal Oak in Tewkesbury. Dan Murphy doesn't know his Twitter handle, but he can tell you that at Hartbury Rugby is what you need
at
to be
Hartbury
following.
Bucks Rugby.
At Hartbury Bucks Rugby, there you go.
I do know that one.
Well, at least you know that. You don't know your own one, but you know we need to be sending people towards your world records and everything. They need to find it all out. You can find us on at NextGen15, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and all sorts of other places. You can watch it on YouTube. And join us again next time for episode 3, where we will be previewing the start of the school season. So it's all to come. Thanks very much for joining us, Dan and Burnsy.